Your pastor said that you're studying about the last 24 hours of Christ. And he wanted me to come and tell you about my experience in that last 24 hours. But before I do that, I need to go back and talk about my history with this man, Jesus. You see, I was a fisherman, and it was a family business, and it was a business I had with some of my friends. My brother Andrew, and then there was James and John. And together we fished, and we fished, and we fished. That is how we made our living. But you see, my brother Andrew, he was a little religious, you might say. He started following this weird guy. His name was John the Baptist. Now, John lived out in the wilderness. He ate locust and honey. I mean, I had fish, and he's eating locusts and honey. But Andrew followed him. He said he was a great prophet. And John the Baptist would preach and preach, and thousands came to the river to be baptized, to be cleansed. And every time Andrew was not fishing, Andrew was with him. And one day Andrew comes running to me and he said, "Peter, we have found the Messiah." "Okay, good for you." And he said, "No, Peter, you got to come and meet this guy. He's really different. Even John the Baptist said he was the Lamb of God, that he was the Messiah." So reluctantly I went with my brother Andrew, and I met this Jesus. And he wasn't anything to look at. He was kind of plain and ordinary. And when I met him, he said, "Simon, son of John, you have a new name now. Your name is Cephas, Peter." I said, "That means the rock. What are you talking about?" And we had a conversation, and he was engaging. I just felt a certain calling. And so I started to listen to him, and I knew that he was a really good teacher. And in fact, one day he was teaching by the seashore, and so many people were gathering and pressing upon him that he said, "Let me step into your boat." So he stepped into my boat, and we pushed off the shore a little bit so more people could see him. And he taught like nobody I had ever seen. And when he's teaching on the boat, people just were mesmerized. And finally, he concluded his teaching and he said, "Take me out. Let's go fishing." And I said, "Jesus, we were out all night. We caught nothing. Today is not the day to take you out on charter fishing, okay? We're not going to get anything." And he said, "Just humor me. Take me out." I said, "All right." He said, "Now cast your nets over here." So we did. And before we knew it, the net was so full we couldn't even pull it in. The nets were starting to break, so I had to call for my friends to come with their boat. And there was so much fish, both boats were about ready to sink. And I said to him, "This is beyond a great teacher. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." And he said, "Peter, I want you to leave this and become fishers of men." And so I left. I left it all to be with Jesus. And let me tell you, he was amazing. He worked miracles everywhere we went. And it wasn't just hundreds of people. Thousands of people gathered to listen to this man. And he asked me to follow along with him. And there was one day he was teaching on this hillside, and there were over 5,000 people there maybe 7 or 8. And it was getting late. And Jesus was teaching and teaching and teaching. And we started going, Jesus, you see the sun? It's starting to go down. These people need to go home. They need to eat. But you see, we were a long way from the village. And Jesus said, I can't let these people go away hungry. I said, what are you going to feed them? So we asked around, has anybody got anything? And we found 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we said, Jesus, there's 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 5,000 hungry people out there. What are we going to do? He said, you let me take care of that. And he took these baskets and he blessed God, thanked God. And then he gave us a basket, said, go hand this out. So we handed it out. We came back and there was another basket. All right, we'll hand this basket out. And we came back and there was another basket and another basket and another basket and another basket. And he fed all 5,000 people. And in the end, we had 12 baskets left over. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was truly a miracle. And we're like, Jesus, how did you do it? He says, because I believe in God and God provides. And he said, now it's late. And he says, you guys get in the boats. He says, I need to spend some time alone with God. You guys get in the boats and you start to cross over. I'll meet you out there. So we figured he was going to catch another boat behind us. And so we went off that night, spent the night on the boat. But it wasn't really a comfortable night. The waves were blowing and the water was kind of wavy. And about morning, I just couldn't sleep anymore. Walked out. And on the horizon, not on the land, but on the water, there was this figure coming towards us. I had to rub my eyes and go, are you guys seeing this? And somebody said, it's a ghost. Let's pull up anchor and let's get going before it gets here. And then Jesus said, whoa, guys, it's just me. And I said, well, if it's you, Lord, you call me out there and I'll come to you. He said, all right, come on out. All right then. So I stepped out and it was like I was walking on land. And Jesus kept coming closer, but the waves were still coming at me and splashing over me. And I took my eyes off of him and I got scared and I started to fall into the water. Now let me tell you, out here on the sea, when the waves are coming, you're not going to last very long. And Jesus said, you of little faith, come here. And he lifted me out of the water and he put me back onto the boat. And it made me think, little faith. This guy's walking on water. He's feeding thousands of people. And we all looked at each other and we said, truly, you are the Son of God. I mean, who else could do this? And sometime later, Jesus just had us and the guys, and we were sitting around, and he said, who do people say that I am? And we've heard a lot of things. Some people thought he was Elijah. Some people thought he was Moses reincarnated. Other people had a lot of ideas. But I said, no, Jesus, I know who you are. Truly, you are the Son of God, the Messiah that is coming. And Jesus looked at me and he said, you're right, Peter. He says, I know you didn't come up with that with yourself. He said, that was given to you by God. He says, I'm going to tell you something. I gave you the name Peter, the rock, for a reason. Because you are going to be the rock on which I am going to build my church. I was blown away. I didn't know what to think at this time. He's going to build his church
on me. This guy that does miracles, he's going to use me. All right. This is starting to get pretty good. I'm liking this. This is good. And just when I think I got it figured out, we're out on the boat again. And it wasn't little waves this time. Because storms pop up like that without warning. And it was a nasty, horrible storm. And the boat was about ready to go down. And he was sleeping. I know people can sleep through storms, but this was a storm on a boat about ready to go down, and he's doing nothing. Jesus, wake up! He goes, what's the matter? You're with me. Why are you scared? And he walks out, puts his hands up, and suddenly the winds, and the sea was like glass. And again, he doubted our faith. Well, if there was any doubt about our faith, there was one day that changed everything. He took three of us, James, John, and myself. He says, you know how I always go up to the mountain by myself to pray? So this time, come along. I want you to come with me. Now, this is a big deal. I'm the rock. He's going to build his church on me. And now I'm one of the three. Let's go up that mountain, Jesus. All right. And then we get up there. And Jesus is suddenly transformed into this brilliant, bright light. His clothes were the whitest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And suddenly there were two other figures there. And we were standing in the presence of these glowing figures and we fell down on our knees. And Jesus said, meet Elijah and meet Moses. Now, as a Jewish person, Moses, that's Moses and Elijah. That's them. Lord, let's build a house, three houses of worship right here, right now. And if that wasn't glorious enough, a cloud came over the mountain, and through the thunder we heard a voice say, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. God. God was present. And we took and we looked at each other, and we looked back, and whew, it was gone. And Jesus is standing before us, and we're all kind of still kind of shaking a little bit. And Jesus says, it's all right. You've seen what you've seen. I want you to wait. Don't tell anybody about this right now. Man. That one stuck with me for a while. He was God ordained with Moses and Elijah. This is huge. This guy truly is the Messiah. He's going to restore this kingdom. He's going to bring back the great kingdom of David. This is going to be awesome, and I'm in on it, and this is great. And I'm about my third year with this guy. We're learning, we're loving, he's teaching us miracles, and we're doing all these things. And one day he starts teaching differently. And he says, there's going to come a day when I'm going to be handed over to the teachers of the law. And I'm going to have to die. And they're going to put me in a grave. And I thought to myself, wait a minute here, Jesus. You got a pretty good thing going. You're going to scare some people here, and you're going to chase off some of the people that are following you. So I said, Jesus, come here. You got a good thing going on here, Jesus. Now, I don't want to say anything in front of the other guys, But you have us on a pretty good roll here, and you start talking about this dying stuff, that means this is not going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. So you need to... And in mid-sentence, he said, "Get behind me, Satan." He yelled at me. "Get behind me, Satan." He said, "You got your mind on things of this world and not what I'm here for." You're talking to me. I'm one of the three. And I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. And then it was about time for Passover to come. Now, Passover, Pastor told me, he told you what a great party that is. We love Passover. Meat, wine, stories, singing hymns. It's a good time. Now, leading up, we had a pretty good week. Jesus came in, Mr. King on Sunday. Yeah. He put the Pharisees in their places. He turned over tables at the temple. And we said, "Jesus, Passover's coming." "Yeah, I know." "Jesus, Passover's coming." "Yeah, I know." And finally, it's the day for the Passover meal. And we're going, "We don't have reservations, Jesus. Where are we having it?" He says, "I got it covered. I want you to go into town, follow my instructions, and it'll be there like I promised." And sure enough, there was a room ready for us. All of us, not just 11, but there was a big party here. It was ready for us. And Jesus got really weird that night. Now, we all know he's a teacher that can't shut up. You guys know anybody like that? It just goes on and on and on and on and on. He just kept talking about stuff and talking about things. And it was like, "Jesus, just pass the meat and let's have a party. Come on, get through the wine here." And then in the meal, he stops. He gets a towel and he gets a basin of water. And he starts going around washing the feet. And we've been walking around all day. And let me tell you, some of these feet didn't smell pretty good. And here's Jesus, the miracle worker, the master, the guy I saw transfigured on a mountain washing feet. I mean, this was for the low person. This was for a slave, a servant, but not one of us. Certainly not our master. And here he was washing feet. And he got to me and I said, "No, you are not washing my feet. You are the master. I am your follower. You are not washing my feet. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to demean you and make you lower than you are." And he said, "Peter," he said, "you don't get it. If you don't let me wash your feet, you're not going to be a part of this." He said, "Those that need their feet washed need to be cleansed." And I said, "Lord, then I'm so unworthy. Don't wash just my feet. Wash all. Wash all of me." And we went through the rest of the meal and the rest of the time. And Jesus said, "One of us is going to betray. One of you are going to betray me." And we started looking around trying to guess about who it was. Is it me? Is it him? Who of us would do that? We love this guy. Every day we worked with him, watched him do miracles, and he always provided again and again and again. Who would betray this guy? And as the meal was concluding and we're walking out to the garden and we were going to spend some time together, he said, "It's almost time for the betrayal." And I said, "No, Jesus. No one's going to betray you, especially not me. No matter what, no matter what happens, whenever it comes down, no matter if you're arrested, no matter you go to death, I'm here by your side. I've got your back. Nothing is going to touch you, Jesus, as long as I'm here." And I made sure I brought a sword with me. And Jesus said, "Peter, I'm praying for you that when you do fail, you don't fall apart. I said, when I fail? No, no, no. There is no when. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. And I had it in my mind, there's no way I'm going to let this happen. I can't let him down. He was everything. My teacher, my Lord. I gave up my business, my family, my everything to follow him. And we were going to follow the scripture. We were going to have the Messiah. We were going to restore the kingdom. And we were going to rule forever. This was it. This was the time that was prophesied. And I was going to be a part of it. And then we went to the garden to pray. And it had been a long day. I tried staying awake. Jesus kept hollering something at us, but I didn't wake up until I heard the guards coming. And this squadron of guys with weapons and a priest and Judas. Judas was with them. That was the one. He's the betrayer. And suddenly the guards came up on Jesus and they grabbed him and they were going to take him away. So I took out my sword and I whacked. The guy's ear just came tumbling to the ground and blood was everywhere. And Jesus said, Peter, put down your sword. This is not the way. And everything was happening so fast. I was in disbelief. And the guards came and pushed us down and pushed us to the side and bound him in chains and started taking him away. And I looked left and there goes John. And I looked to my right and off went Matthew and Thomas and all the rest. And then 4 guards said, if you know what's good for you, you get out of here too. And I was so scared that I ran. But I followed at a distance. And they took him to one of the houses of the high priest. And then there, Caiaphas. They were grilling him and yelling at him and beating him and questioning him. And Jesus said nothing. I'm like, come on, Jesus, just like you did on the sea, raise your hands and push the walls out. Jesus, call down angels, do something. And Jesus did nothing but take the beating and the insults. And Caiaphas finally one last time demanded, are you the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. Now to you, in your language, saying I am just means I am. But you see, to the Hebrews, that's how God introduces himself. He told Moses, when Moses said, who do I say is sending me to Pharaoh? What do I say? And he says, you tell them I am sent you. See, there's a word we're not allowed to say. Yahweh. We're not allowed to say the name of the I am. Yahweh. His name is holy. His name is sacred. And Jesus said, I am. And immediately Caiaphas ripped his garment and said, blasphemy, blasphemy. He called himself God. And I wanted to do something. And I was thinking about how I could rush in there, get him out, do something. Then out of nowhere, somebody pointed to me and they said, we know you. You were with him. No, that's not me. And another person said, yes, I know your accent. I can hear you. You're a Galilean. You're one of them. No, not me, not me, not me. And a third person accused me of being one of the followers. And I stood up and I said, no,
I am not. And I looked through the window. Jesus was staring at me. And then I heard the rooster crow, and I remembered what he taught me. He predicted that I was going to betray him, and I did. I was Peter. I was the rock. I just had to leave. I failed. Finally, we gathered back at the house of Mary. And everybody was asking me, what do we do? I said, don't ask me. Don't ask me. I failed Jesus, the Son of God. I failed him. And let me tell you, that Saturday, that Sabbath, I couldn't even go to the temple. Jesus made sure every Sabbath we were in the temple. I couldn't do it. I couldn't go where I saw him read, where he taught. So we stayed and we hid. That was a long day. And finally, some of the women said, you know what, tomorrow morning we're going to get up just before sunrise. And once the Sabbath is over, we're going to go in and we're going to finish burying Jesus the right way. He deserves that. He deserves a proper burial. Let's finish it right. And despite the disagreements from the men of how dangerous it was, how unlikely it was to get in there, we heard that there was a big stone. We heard that there were guards. We said, ladies, we don't... And they said, look, we have faith. All we know is we're going to continue to follow and continue to be obedient, and we're going to go. So we let them go. And early that morning, we were stirring, looking for scraps to eat, some leftovers from the day before, from 2 days ago. One of the women came running back. She's out of breath. She's like, guys, he's risen. And we're like, what are you talking about? The tomb. It's empty. He's not there. So John and I took off running. And John just barely beat me there. And I go running in, and sure enough, the tomb was empty. But what happened? Where was he? And then we caught up with Mary Magdalene. She said, I saw him here, right in this garden. He spoke to me. He's back. And all I could think of is that these women were so distraught. So much anguish that they believed that he was alive. And so we went back and gathered in our little room, still scared that we might be arrested next. And suddenly, like a ghost, Jesus appeared before us. And we thought he was a ghost. He was back from the dead as a ghost. But he said, hey, let me have some of that fish. Can a ghost eat fish? And he ate in front of us and talked to us. But we were in such shock that I couldn't even tell you what he said. And then Jesus was gone again. And Thomas, who wasn't with us, Thomas came. And Thomas said, guys, what's going on? Jesus showed up. I'm like, yeah. And Jesus, Thomas is like, you guys are about as hysterical as the women. Will you stop it? I won't believe it till I see him myself. He says, in fact, I won't even believe it till I can touch him myself. Well, wouldn't you believe it? Jesus showed up again. I'm still a mixed bag of emotions here, guys. I still let Jesus down. And I really don't want to see him again. I don't want to face him. But he shows up again. And he's showing Thomas. And he shows him his hands. He shows him the wound in his side. The wounds that he got because I didn't stand up for him. I saw the wounds in his feet, his hands, in his side. He wouldn't have been killed if I would have stood up and I would have done something. And he got those because of me. And then Jesus left us again. I didn't know what to do. So I looked at John and James and Andrew and I said, well, I guess we're just fishermen again, aren't we? So let's get a boat. Let's get back to it. Let's do what we know, what is right. So we went out. We weren't really into it, but we tried. No luck. No fish. And we're getting a little closer to the shore, and there's a guy on the shore going, hey, did you catch anything? No, thanks for asking. Try the other side. Whatever, guys, let's try the other side. And when we tried the other side, the nets, just like what happened 3 years ago, the nets were filled again. Filled. And John said, look, it is the Lord. It is him. It really is him. Oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And I jumped off the boat and went swimming in. Got out of the water and I was like, oh, Jesus, it's you. It's you. And everybody else came around and we were excited. And he said, let's have breakfast and let's eat. And we're eating and we're talking and it's Jesus and he's here. We've accepted it. Kind of. So I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. So I was just kind of standing in the back. And things are settling down and people are finished eating. And Jesus said, Peter, let's take a walk. I wasn't looking for this walk because, you know. He said, Peter, do you love me? I said, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said, Peter, feed my sheep. Yes, Lord. Peter, yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. I just told you that. He said, Peter, take care of my sheep. I will, Lord. I will. But then he asked me a third time, Peter, do you love me? I cut. That one cut. He asked me a third time because I don't know if he believed me. I fell down on my knees and I said, yes, Lord, you know I love you with all my heart. I'm sorry. He said, Peter, go and feed my sheep. And it was that day But everything he started to teach us started to make sense. He didn't come to this world to condemn me. He came to save me. He came to give me grace. He loved me like no other. He was wounded and killed because of my sin. But yet, despite my darkest failings, Jesus restored me. He says, I have plans for you. And if you're obedient and you follow and you love me and you have faith for me, I am going to rebuild you, Peter. And that's when I learned what grace was all about. The grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Because of one man. Because of the love of a great Father. He came, he suffered, and he came back as victory for me. His grace and his love. And folks, that's what that last 24 hours was about. That last 24 hours was about his grace.